Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily right here on the Chop Sports Podcast Network, along with coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy studio here in Matawan, New Jersey, your host, Sturch, and, of course, Gooch over there, and AJ Bascom, Mr. Producer Man himself. Welcome to another Thirsty Thursday. We did not grab the beers. Oh, man, I'm such a clown. I literally said, let's grab some beers because it is Thirsty Thursday today. But I will say, starting today, you can get your very own Chop Sports koozie. That's right, folks. Koozies for your beers.
And they're free.
We're not selling them.
You can get your very own.
$1.99 a piece. No, if you want to represent Chop Sports while you're out your tailgates, while you're out drinking beers around a fire, because it's getting nice, and it's the last day of September, somehow, some way, we're already in October tomorrow, which is absolutely nuts. But yeah, we got some Chop Sports koozies, so spread the word. Survivor pick this week besides Buffalo. We'll get into that in a second. We'll get into that probably tomorrow, actually. Unless you want to ride with the Bungles, you know, as your survivor
pick. It's a little scary.
A little sketchy.
Talk about we'll see. That tomorrow.
I feel like that's almost sacrilege to talk about survivor picks on a show. It's very, very personal.
Because you're really giving out the.
It's not like a waiver wire is kind of a stretch to me as it is.
Because you don't know where you're.
My survivor pick. It's early, so. It's not so bad.
I usually don't make my
in the year. That shit is guarded tight.
Yeah, I usually don't make my pick until like Sunday morning, to be honest. And then I'll get a text from Scoop like, dude, like, oh, yeah.
I also think that it gives the pool runner an unfair advantage, Scoop. So maybe you should have to make your pick first because Scoop gets everybody's picks before he has to make his.
Ah, look at that, huh? Look
Dave,
at you.
You got lucky this fucking week.
How did I get? Oh, yeah. I mean, Justin Tucker hit a 66-yard field goal. So, yeah.
Rooting against you. Per se, but I was definitely rooting against.
You're rooting in people.
I was definitely rooting against Baltimore in that game.
You're definitely rooting for people to
get bounced.
Get bounced. Yeah, of course. That's what a survivor pool is all about. You have no control over it other than your pick. So, you know, what better way to see half the league or half the guys go out after picking X team, you know? But anyway, we'll start with this because we're just looking at it in pre-show. Our favorite NBA star is back in the news, and it's not like breaking news because it's been talked about. And we tend to I don't want to say tiptoe around this issue, but it's like you don't want to segregate yourself too much when it comes to stuff like this because, look, believe it or not, I know nobody wants to talk about it, but COVID's still a thing. You know what I mean? Like it's still out there. It's vaccinated versus unvaccinated, yada, yada, yada. It's still in the news. And Kyrie Irving currently right now, because AJ just told me that me and AJ's beloved New York Knicks are 100% vaccinated. So we don't have any problems with this year's roster. The Nets might have a problem because Kyrie Irving continues to just kind of sit this one out. And then games in New York, he's not going to be able to play.
Yeah.
I find that fascinating.
Games in New York, if he decides to not get vaccinated and not play, it's going to cost him like $400,000 per home game. But the thing that's not fair about it is
that are you that is somebody that egotistical that they can chuck up $400,000 like, meh. Yeah,
I think it's different.
I don't know that that egotistical is the word. Maybe he is egotistical, but it's his free choice to not get vaxxed.
Understood that part.
Choice. I'm not going to sit here and I bash Kyrie about a lot of shit. This one particularly, I'm going to kind of just do what I always do when it comes to this, and it's like to each their own. I've never been mad at who does or doesn't do anything that they decide they want to do as a free person living in the country.
That's where I'll go with it. That's the extent I'll go with it, is that we live in America, home of the brave, land of the free, you know, or land of the free, home of the brave, whatever way you want to spin that. You shouldn't have to do anything, yeah. You know? And dude, shout out. Like, again, this ain't political. I don't want to do this. I don't want to get into this realm of possibility.
We're
right there. Line. But I will say this.
It is big news, though.
I will say this. And this is not even sports related. But we spent a year as a country. Thank you so much, first responders. Thank you so much. And now it's, you're fired. Like, get out of here, bro.
So Dave's like, we're not going to go political.
But no, I mean, come on, man. Whatever.
I'm not. Like, I don't agree
ridiculous.
With what's going on.
It just seems ass backwards. That's all. I don't care what side you're on. Just seems a little harsh. Like, thanks for stepping up, folks. And then all of a sudden you're like, by the way, here's your pink slip.
Resident scumbag Scoop Espo has said, the stupidest shit is visiting players can play when they're unvaccinated.
Visiting players can play.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, what are we doing here?
Sorry for talking over you, but I was going to say that earlier. I was like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
That's where it doesn't make any sense to me.
Zero. I'm done with it already. Because the NBA is going to be here before you know it. The NHL is going to be here before you know it. Everybody's excited. New season, new sports. The Knicks are, you know, a little bit showing promise. A lot of people are already predicting regression. I predict stay where you're at, Knicks. You know what I mean? Stay where you're at. Yeah. But the whole you got to do this or you can't play here or you're going to miss game checks, this, that, and the third. That's where you get into like this dictatorship, you know what I mean? And that's not a league I want to watch. And I'm not one of those guys like, well, I just won't watch. I'm watching my Knicks.
Yeah.
I'm just like watch. With all the crap with the NFL, like, oh, he's taking a knee. I'm watching my Cowboys. Screw you. You know, I don't care enough. I can't believe they did this. And but I'm like, stop. Just stop. Get off my lawn. Just stop. I'm done with the main
problem I got right now, at least with what I've seen out of NBA, I guess, press conferences, is I haven't heard one thing about the upcoming season. I've only heard about players' vaccination statuses.
Doesn't that suck?
It feels like a tell-all from the players, and it feels a little ridiculous for me.
Wouldn't you rather hear stuff like, you know, season predictions and
that'd be so much cooler.
Stars and fantasy lineups are going to start and this, that, and a third? Like,
I don't know why the media has to gravitate towards this, towards the negative. I know it does numbers, but, I mean, nobody really wants to see this. Nobody wants to read this crap.
Because nobody gives a shit. Yeah, nobody cares.
The only thing I wanted to see out of all the press conferences was that Jonathan Isaac thing. I thought he did a great job.
He did a great job delivering his reasoning. You know what I mean? If you could back up your reasoning, all for you. Power to you, bro.
He's a smart dude.
Oh, yeah. Articulate as shit. And he definitely laid it out and said, look, this is why I'm not. This is what's going on. And this is why I'll continue to do what I'm doing. And that's it.
Regardless of what's happening, I'm just glad that it's happening to the Nets. Because you don't want the Nets to fail. So if Kyrie doesn't make it to any of the home games, then good on the Nets and good on the Kyrie. Nets. And this is what happens when you get Kyrie involved with your team. Right, wrong, or indifferent.
This is how it goes.
The Nets will fail now because of this, and that's all good for all of us. So
yeah, so
we can agree to that. Right?
Dear Brooklyn Nets, have a seat. How about that?
I just want to thank Adam Silver for what he's done.
So, all right. So now a little more concerning news, and that is the wild card race. The Yankees dropped one yesterday to Toronto. On a scale of 1 to 10, Gooch, are you worried that they didn't win out like everybody needed them to do? Obviously, they're going to lose a game.
No.
But yesterday, with Gerrit Cole, man. You know what I'm saying? That's a big problem to me.
The point that I'm making is how they need to win every day. Because they're not going to. So you have to look at it like now they do. If they lose today, right?
And then Kluber's on the hill.
Just say this. Is there a chance if they lose today and then every other team wins that's behind us that we're out?
No.
No, right? So if we lose the next two and the next and every other team wins the next two, are we out?
I believe so. Because right now they stand right now they're plus one.
Because there's no guarantees. So they have to win. They definitely have to win the next, what, they got four games left?
Four games left.
Yeah, they got to win all four. They can't lose two because then you assume that somebody else is going to win all four.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's...
Especially if the one of the they lose is to Toronto, so they can't afford that. No.
If we according to Scoop, if we lose today, we'll still be a half game up, no matter what. So either whatever, in any event, like with four games to go, like this is where it gets nitty gritty. The magic number was three yesterday, and then it kind of gets a little bit of, you know, skewed because you lose a game and Seattle wins again, and like so now if I'm the Rays, and I heard this on the way in today, if I'm the Rays. Oh, one game. Sorry, we're still up one game. If we lose today, that's interesting. But if
I don't think that's the case,
I don't think that's the case either.
Yeah, that can't be right. No mathematical sense whatsoever.
Yeah, that's not. I don't think that's accurate. Sorry, Scoop. But I will say this. You know, going into the last four games, you know, there is a team that controls a lot of the power here, and that's the Tampa Bay Rays, who have already clinched the AL East. Right, they're kind of playing for nothing, but you don't want to go in like. You don't want to go limping in into the playoffs. After the Toronto series is done, you know, the Yankees get the Rays to finish the year. Now, I heard stats. You know, the Rays right now are 9-7 against the Yankees and the Red Sox. And they're 11-9 against the Toronto Blue Jays, right? But they're 1-6 against the Seattle Mariners. So my guess, my take is that Tampa Bay wants nothing to do with even the remote chance that Seattle gets into the playoffs. So what do they do against the Yankees is what I'm saying. I know you're playing to win games, right? But if you want the Yankees in that wild card game and you don't want Seattle in, you kind of just let the gas off a little bit? Or am I wrong? I mean, I know these guys compete. I get it. It's not that they're going to throw fat balls down the middle.
I think that you're wrong in the sense that you can't go to your team. I think the Rays are going to play. So, yes, they are going to play against the Yankees. I'm struggling to figure out exactly where I'm going to say that you're wrong. And I think the only way that you're wrong is that they're going to actually go to the team and be like, we don't want anything to do with Seattle. If anything, being 1-6, if I'm a player, I'd be like, that's who I do want. Or I just don't see it going in like, we have to win this game because if we get Seattle, because like, what happens if Seattle does get in? Then you're worried. You know, like you're the Rays, you have confidence. They might have went out west. Who knows what the situation was going out west and dealing with shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's always harder to do that. Obviously, in a one-game series, it will be at home no matter who they're playing. So mm-hmm. they don't have to deal with that. Maybe Seattle is the team that you want to play because they have to come all the way east and travel all the way there.
There's a lot of intangibles.
I just don't think that they're going to go to the – like, whose job is that? Whose job is it to be like, you know what? Collectively, as an organization, we're gonna say we don't really want to play Seattle, who we're like 10 games better than in the standings.
Yeah, all right. I see your point. You know, I definitely see your point. But again, this is gonna come down to the nitty gritty, and I think the Yankees have to have tonight.
And I have to correct myself. They wouldn't be playing in a one game. They would actually have to go west because Tampa Bay clinched.
Right, so they're in already. Right,
I misspoke earlier, but either way, I still don't see them not wanting to play Seattle. Personally,
right. And in a world where everybody considers numbers to be the name of the game, you know what I mean, or analytics or whatever else, that's why I bring that up. Like,
of
hey,
course,
here,
of course, no, there is as fans. That's what fans I think cling to a lot. Like, as a fan of Tampa, maybe I would be like, I don't want them to play Seattle, but the players themselves and the organization themselves, I don't think that they're posturing in any way.
Okay. All right. Well, it remains to be seen. And as I said before, Corey Kluber goes on the hill tonight for the New York Yankees. And to me, you got to get this one. You do have to get this one. You got originally when people said like, all right, the worst the Yankees should do in the last 9 games would be like 7-2 or 6-3 at the very worst. Right now, you already have 2 losses. You know what I mean? Or no, I'm sorry, just 1. So you can afford one more, but I just don't think it should be Toronto. I think if you're going to drop a game, let it be in that last series against Tampa when almost you have that one spot locked up. I don't know. There's no clinching scenario tonight with a win, but that percentage is just skyrocket. Yeah. If you just get that game and you get this win, the Yankees can
fight. Baseball tonight, baby.
Let's go. I know you're a fan of these one-game playoffs and stuff, but this kind of stuff, these series leading up to the fact, that's cool atmosphere for me. And Toronto, you can tell it, and not to toot Toronto's horn by any stretch, but like when Springer makes that last catch last night, you could see the emotion just pour out of the Blue Jays.
They're not. They're out.
They're out right and now, they, yes. They according to Sean Curtis's post, by the way.
They need help. We don't want to help them. So basically, there it goes. We
nobody wants to help. We don't. Yankees want
to
get in.
No, we don't want to lose. Help them by losing to them. So let's go, Yankees. Let's get it done today.
Absolutely.
And boom, make some better choices out there.
Right. And then, of course, Jimmy Palumbo chiming in with a let's go, Knicks.
Getting involved.
Getting involved. By the way.
If we're talking about clinching, I don't mean to cut you off before we go off of baseball, which I would imagine we are at this point.
I was going
to
say, by the way, this new shirt. new shirt. The Jimmy Palumbo has a third variant. We're talking about variants before, right? A third variant of a t-shirt. Getting involved. So go get your Jimmy Palumbo t-shirt right now. It's on shopsports.shop. We are offering free shipping right now. So get involved with that offer. And then pick yourself up a couple other Chop Sports stuff, and then you can grab yourself a koozie. All right, how about that? It's black and red for the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, the 3-1, soon to be 4-1 Scarlet Knights after the Scarlet Knights get done handling Ohio State. That's right, you heard it here.
Before we left the baseball world,
what happened?
Ready? Speaking of everybody clinching, I'm pretty sure that last night the Mets clinched yet another losing record. Right? and if you
it's
couldn't
a,
think
it's a shame.
If you thought things couldn't get any worse for the Mets. The Mets always find a new way to Mets, right? So the new record that the Mets have set this year, major Ooh, league record.
There's a major league record involved.
A new major league record.
And it is?
The Mets set major league baseball record for longest time spent in first place of any team to finish with a losing record. So they spent 103 games this season in first place. And they ended up finishing with a losing record.
God. Yo, straight up, Mets. You guys
I hope Aaron Judge gets AIDS. I hate you both.
Well played. Since that doesn't actually matter because karma doesn't exist and you don't have the wishing ability of Genie from Aladdin, it doesn't matter. Aaron Judge talked about MVP conversation. Hey, I know he doesn't really belong. But
he could have. I mean, he might get a vote, right? I mean, some of these randos like give a vote.
It was brought up to me too that we were talking about MVP.
Conversation. Oh yeah, Hawaii Mike was.
Of course, bro.
Dude, he is. Of course.
He also
and I listen. I support the fact that he's like listens to every ounce of this show, and he goes in on me, and I'm just like, dude.
Yeah,
I appreciate what I'm trying to do over here.
You know, he did raise a good point about Vlad's MVP candidacy is that Marcus Simeon, if you take Vlad off the team, they have a guy that's probably going to get some votes on the roster. So it does hurt the Vlad case. And honestly, he might be better than Vlad.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, he plays a really good second base, and he set the major league record for home runs by a second baseman yesterday, or 2 days ago.
He's no Chuck Knobloch, so but good. I guess we'll go from there. You should do that one, Jimmy, also, by the way. What happened to that guy? Jimmy, Chuck Knobloch, because he follows me on Twitter. Don't ask me why. I didn't ask him to follow me. Randomly one day, like, Chuck Knobloch just followed you. I was like, what? Remember his blunders? Oh, boy. Yeah. But anyway.
He had some good years, though.
Jimmy Palumbo, AIDS? Come on, bro. It's 2021. That's not getting involved.
Jimmy Palumbo doesn't even know what it means to get involved.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that'll be a conversation for Monday when he's back. So, all right, what are we going to – you want to take a break first? You want to set our lineups? What do you want to do, AJ?
Take a break first, and then we'll set some lineups for you guys.
Sounds like a plan. We're coming back right after these words from major, major sponsors here at Chop Sports. What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I got a question for you. Have you ever dreamt about flipping a house or buying an investment property? I know I have. There's a reason why house flipping is out of reach for most people, and that's because of a lack of information. Flipping Made Easy is for people like you who feel drawn to the world of house flipping, but they don't have a clue as to where to start. Check out flippingmadeeasy.com. Here, you'll find comprehensive and easy to understand information about every stage of the house flipping process. You'll receive access to millions of houses ripe with flipping potential. Hundreds of expert guidance explained through research articles and easy to understand video content. And thousands of vendors for all of your house flipping needs. Subscribe to flippingmadeeasy.com and become part of the flipping community. Right now, if you use the promo code CHOP, you'll receive a free t-shirt and a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's flippingmadeeasy.com.
Oh, shit.
Oh, didn't see you sitting there. Well, this right here is a brand new Chop Sports koozie here on a Thirsty Thursday. So Chop Sports got some Rutgers colors going on. Nice little scheme here. You got the circle logo on the front. And then, of course, the graffiti logo on the back. So get involved. Get yourself a koozie at wherever beers are sold. No, that's not true. It's just ask for one. How about that? Ask for one. You shall receive. It's Thirsty Thursday after all.
I'm sorry. Did you just say the G word?
What's the G word?
You said it.
I said G word?
Yeah, graffiti.
Is that bad?
That's called street art, sir.
Oh,
see, this is new to even me.
Well, finally, yeah. Finally, there's something that's finally, not.
Don't appropriate don't my culture, okay? Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. So the millennials. Anyway, so we're going to get into setting your fantasy lineups tonight because it is indeed fantasy football week 4. Not sure about anybody, you know, getting involved with any Bengals or Jaguars. However, I think you did bring one up, AJ, in one of the matchups. So let's get that started.
Yeah, bring it up in the first matchup.
First matchup. So we have here. Joe Burrow versus Sam Darnold. Joe Burrow goes tonight against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Sam Darnold takes on the hottest defense in football right now, boy. And that is the Dallas Cowboys, who lead the league in turnovers and takeaways. How about that? You would never think in a million years you're going into October and the Dallas Cowboys lead anything on defensive stat-wise. But I'll turn it over to the fantasy gurus over there. That's AJ and Chris. So Joe Burrow, Sam Darnold. Take it over, man. Well, let me know. Who am I starting?
Well, I'm just going to preface saying this. This is my own lineup question. I'm having the deepest trouble right now deciding who to start. So this is mainly for Chris. I want to hear what Chris has to say about these two quarterbacks and what the matchup means for them in this week.
First, I'm going to say, wow, you really punted on quarterback in this league. This
is your Joe Burrow? How is that a punt?
Nah, it's not a punt. I think Joe Burrow is definitely
14.
Four women. How many people?
14.
Oh, it's not bad then. Still, I think that you could do better. But that said, you do have some – you're going to have the same conversation with me every week, I feel like, because this is the ultimate coin flip, and you're going to have to just stream the best option. I would say this week it goes with Joe Burrow, though, because they're playing tonight, and you get to see him early. Jacksonville's defense –
I hate that, though.
I hate that, though, too. I'm not a big fan of that.
Are they home, though?
They're home.
They're home. So that's important. And CJ Henderson is gone. Jacksonville's secondary is completely destroyed. They have nobody left, and it's Jacksonville.
Give me that Jamar Chase, bro.
If Jacksonville does anything good, I'm going to start all my players against Jacksonville. Point blank, period. It's not even close to me.
Would you stream the Bengals defense?
Let's talk about, like what Dave said, the Cowboys defense is playing well. So just looking at the way they're trending, it's...
I mean, the Cowboys defense played well, but Jalen Hurts still had like 20 points last week.
Did he, though?
Yeah. I think he did, yeah.
Yeah, he had 20.5 points.
Oof. But by what? Air yardage?
I have no goddamn
because he didn't run anywhere.
I have no
Micah Parsons locked dead.
But I remember looking at that score, and I'm like, how on earth?
Yeah, and he turned the ball over a lot, too. That's
makes no sense.
So basically, he would have had like a 30-point game had he not,
shat the bed.
Right. Yeah. So anyway.
Also, because
a lot of garbage yards, too, by the way.
Beat out of them.
Right.
So late in the game, they threw every play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I think it's a no-brainer that it's Joe Burrow. I'm not saying that Joe Burrow is definitely going to outscore Sam Darnold. I'm saying that when we're playing the numbers game here, because it's very even, obviously ranking 15 and 16, I think that you're going with the quarterback that's playing against the worst secondary that has the weapons that he has at his disposal. It's not like Cincinnati doesn't have these weapons. I know Higgins is out, but Jamar
Chase. Big night for Chase, baby.
Jamar Chase and Tyler Boyd have both been very, very efficient this year. They have no real tight end to speak of, but also the running back. Mixon could catch the ball. Who else is
But that's what I'm a little more concerned about. I feel as if the
Jacksonville has been terrible against the run.
I feel that the Bengals are just going to run the ball the entire game.
Until he comes up limp and he's grabbing his hamstring like Joe Mixon does every single
the
year.
Aren't really built that way. They haven't been the team that's going to run the ball all game. And
all
Mixon,
right.
And Mixon, I feel like...
Listen, I'm all for Burrow. I agree with you. I'm with Burrow here. Look. Next,
you're gonna stick with my advice though. Is it gonna be Burrow?
I'm gonna be plugging Burrow, and
so he's not fading the gooch when it comes to fantasy
he's
stats.
He's already in my lineup, so
good.
I mean, might as well just keep him there.
Another Eagle. Speaking of Eagles, well, not another Eagle. Just some we just talked about the Eagles.
Spelled his name
wrong. I did. Yeah.
My what?
It's with an I.
Or whatever. Miles. Who cares? Miles Sanders against Chuba Hubbard. It should be Chuba Hubbard, but that's they made a mistake as a family. Uh-huh. But Chuba Hubbard or Chuba Hubbard is taking on the Cowboys, which you just mentioned, who, again, we talked about this last week and previous weeks. The Cowboys have a hard time not just stopping the run, but, like, if they jump it off to this kid, he's got some kind of wheels. You know what I mean? He can definitely make some plays. But the other thing is the Chiefs have been giving up a lot of yards on the ground. They give up a lot of yards overall. The Chiefs' defense doesn't look as good, and they get Miles Sanders this week. So I'll leave it up to you guys. I mean, look at that. Actually, the projections is so neck and neck. But, yeah, I mean, Sanders or Hubbard? What are we doing?
I'm going to go with Hubbard this week because, as you said, the Dallas defense can't really defend the running back out of the backfield in terms of catching the ball. So I think Hubbard's going to get some nice receiving totals. And overall, I think that the Panthers will have some success against the Cowboys defense. Not the craziest success, but they're going to get some success, and he could definitely find himself in the end zone. So I definitely like Chuba in that spot, and I really don't like Miles Sanders in this spot against Kansas City. Last week, the Eagles gave Miles Sanders the ball 9% of the snaps.
Well, Sirianni, the coach, openly admitted that he just
9% of the snaps.
You shit the bed when it comes to the calling, play calling.
Well, against the Chiefs, they're not going to be in a lot of positions to run the ball, so that's
correct. That's a really good point because I think they're going to be coming from behind. I think the Chiefs are very pissed off right now. You're going to get angry Patrick Mahomes, and he's going to light up the scoreboard. If Dak and Zeke and all those guys did what they did against Philadelphia, what are the Chiefs going to do? You know what I mean? Like, Philadelphia's in a bad situation right now where they're about to get trounced. 2 weeks in a row. That's my prediction. We'll talk about that more as we get closer to tomorrow when we make our game picks. But anyway.
Gooch, what's your take?
I think Chuba is the guy in this one. Same reason that you said with Kansas City's in the get-right game. They're 1-2. They're going to come out firing on all cylinders on offense. And that's going to pretty much dictate that Gainwell gets all the burn because even in garbage time last week,
he was in there.
Sanders wasn't in.
Right. Gainwell was in, yeah.
They're either preserving Sanders for when it does matter, if it ever does matter for this team because it's not looking great for them out of the gate. I do think Dallas's defense is obviously way better than I gave him credit for going into the season.
They're way better than I gave him credit for.
So Dallas's defense is playing really good. I'm not going to anoint them a top five defense just yet. I do think there will be a little bit of regression to the mean, but I do think this is going to be a highly competitive game between Dallas and Carolina, and Chuba Hubbard, he's a guy that is going to be the lead back on a team that's going to be in a competitive game with a game script that's kind of built around him.
And he's the McCaffrey.
So he's the guy. So yeah. I don't see a second person on Carolina right now that's going to be able to take anything from him. Who they have, was it Royce Freeman last week?
Yeah. Royce the 5'9" Freeman.
I do expect him to get some work on the ground, but I don't expect him to get any balls thrown to him out of the backfield. So Chuba Hubbard, it remains to be seen what he's going to do in a full game built around him. And I already know what Miles Sanders
and remember
does with full games built around him.
Chuba also played the Texans. You know what I mean? So any kind of flashes, you have to take that with a little bit of a grain, you know, but we'll see.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you look at what the Texans have done well, it's been
defensive side of the ball. Makes sense.
It's only been 3 weeks. Look at the amount of times that Carolina gave Christian McCaffrey the ball through two games.
It was
60 times, 59 times. And they wonder why he's hurt. The poor guy gets the ball every play.
Yeah.
Chuba is at least going to inherit, I would say, the lion's share of those targets. So the play just on volume alone.
And here's a fun fact. Sam Darnold has already beaten the Cowboys as a member of the New York Jets.
We have a question from one of the viewers.
Before we get on to our next one, bring up that question real quick. That is Scoop, one of our viewers. It's just Scoop. Sermon or Tim Patrick in the flex?
For me, it's easy Tim Patrick this week. If you look at Tim Patrick this season, he doesn't have a game where he hasn't either gotten 90 yards receiving or a touchdown. So he's been really efficient over the first three games of the season. He's popping off, and this actually might be a game where he could explode. That Ravens secondary is piss poor, and with Marlon Humphrey likely covering Cortland Sutton the entire game, that leaves a weaker corner to cover Tim Patrick. This could be alive party, baby.
I need a Sutton breakout game.
I think right now with KJ Hamler is now also out for the season.
ACL out for the year.
So Tim Patrick will probably inherit even more. I think this is good news for Tim Patrick owners. If you're not a Tim Patrick owner and he's available in your leagues, you should be a Tim Patrick owner. Mm-hmm. Even when Jerry Jeudy comes back, I like him to be in the flex consideration as the season progresses.
Right.
But Trey Sermon, it's up in the air on what he's going to be this week. If
Mitchell's back, Mitchell, I think.
It's not guaranteed. But
please be back.
If Elijah Mitchell plays, then Trey Sermon is a definite not starting guy. But even last week against Green Bay, when Trey Sermon was supposed to be the feature back, San Francisco was apprehensive to use him in goal-to-go situations. He did end up punching in a touchdown, but Juszczyk got the ball a lot more than you would.
Juszczyk? Juszczyk?
Juszczyk. Juszczyk.
Juszczyk. He's a prominent player in the league.
He's the H-back and nobody cares. So
he is the Chris Cooley of the NFL right now.
So point being is that Trey Sermon gave way to a more experienced white guy out of the backfield. And that's the point that I'm ultimately trying to make.
I mean, honestly, that is a good point, too.
They didn't believe in
solid,
Sermon enough.
Solid.
It might be because
real
of
good numbers there.
Him not knowing the system, or could have been because he was in concussion protocol all week.
Mm.
One of those two things. But either way, there's a lot of question marks surrounding Trey Sermon. Unless some of those things get cleared up, it's got to be Tim Patrick.
All right.
Dave, can I borrow some juice?
Some juice. Jewish? Oh, so yeah, don't die.
Yeah.
So now, my screen got just went away. Not
let's
away,
head
away.
Over to the next matchup.
Yeah, let's get some wide receiver action
Mr.
here.
Mr. Corey Davis, who has been quite a disappointment over the past 2 weeks, going against Mr. Marquise Brown. Marquise Brown is ranked 30th. Corey Davis ranked 33rd. Chris, what's your angle on this game? Who do
Jets,
you like?
Jets stink. That's my angle. Go ahead, Chris. Tell
Jets,
me yours.
The Jets do stink, but the Titans secondary does stink as well. So I expect the Jets, if there's a way for them to do anything against the Titans, it's going to be throwing the ball. I think that everybody has had success so far throwing the ball against the Titans. So I expect nothing less in this case. Marquise Brown, while he did have the drops last week, he does have, I think, 5 catches this season with more than 20 yards. I think that's tied for second in the league. So he is being used the right way by that team. I think with Rashad Bateman coming off the IR.
Is that happening already?
This week, it'll be next week.
Next week, okay.
Marquise Brown has to show out and show that he's the guy out there, even though they are going to play a very different role.
Because I took your advice and I added Bateman. I just got to wait. And now I got to also make a decision of who to cut. Well, you know, once he's on my roster.
You might not need to make the decision because by the end of the week, there could be another guy that's hurt on your team. So don't make any decisions.
No decisions to be made yet.
But in the case of who to start between Corey Davis and Marquise Brown. I rank Corey Davis just a little bit ahead of him.
Joe LaCorey chiming in Hollywood. He's targeted too much not to start him.
I agree that, but he's had a couple issues with the drops, and I just matchup wise, if you have Corey Davis and you have Marquise Brown on your team, I think you have to strongly consider starting Davis, even though nobody's going to do that because of the projections and what Joe LaCorey.
And I like the Broncos secondary a little bit more than obviously.
I believe more in the Broncos secondary or defense as a whole, getting to the quarterback and things like that, than I believe in Corey Davis.
All right, let me get into this.
I believe in the Titans secondary.
This is a Corey Davis revenge game, people.
Oh yeah! Wow. Corey Davis. Wow. Didn't even realize that he wasn't worth it to the Titans to re-sign him. So, and then they went out and got Julio Jones. Little chippage on the shoulder of Corey Davis. You know what? I'm all for Corey Davis. And
you know what?
It's going to be hard to pick the Jets this week.
There, instead of Corey Davis and Julio and A.J. Brown, neither of those guys are going to play probably. So
how about that? Corey so Davis, the one guy that's playing in this game is Corey Davis.
I told myself I didn't want to take the Jets this week.
I'm starting. I'm 0-3 with the Jets picks, and now I'm starting to fade, just a little bit feel that one special feeling about maybe this is the game for my boy to break out.
The line already slightly moved, and it's weird.
What is the line? Do you know it off the rep?
The line was 7.5, Titans, obviously. But now it's moved to 7. So Vegas wants people.
Is this game in New York?
The Titans.
No, they
yes.
don't want anybody.
The Jets
anything.
Are 7-point dogs going. At home?
Yes.
Why are you making it seem like that's so alarming?
I just I don't know, man. Think, like, dude. But
7 points
seven?
At home, that's about right.
Oh, Christ. I'm going to wind up picking the damn Jets again. I can feel it. Anyway, go next. What do we got? Tight ends. Piss me off a little bit more because Robert Tonyan is a guy that won me a game last week because he found the end zone and then he just. Freaking literally blanked me, and he's just not a factor. And you got, listen, Gooch, you're the resident Packer guy.
I warned you about Tonyan.
Explain to me the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and Robert Tonyan, because right now I think that if they're not in the red zone, he's not even considered.
Yeah, I warned you about Tonyan going into the year. You were very excited to be like, I got Tonyan. I was like, ooh, I don't want to break it to you, but like I don't think they're going to use him.
He
only gets the ball in the red zone, and they didn't even do that with him this year yet.
So. I have acquired Dalton Schultz. In free agency, so Tonyan will more than likely hit my bench. And it's funny because I also landed in another league, Dawson Knox. And I believe in this guy, too. And I believe anybody on that Buffalo offensive passing game.
I was the one that had AJ kind of put the tight end situation into the equation because we haven't really talked about tight ends. Even with my free agent waiver wire ads, I haven't talked about tight ends. But Dawson Knox, he's on an offense that's going to be getting the ball to a lot of different receivers.
Right.
If you're looking at a Tonyan, he's so touchdown dependent. To this point, I don't think Knox has been. I think he's getting a lot more of the target share than what Tonyan is getting. And if you're looking at a guy like Jonnu Smith, there's these tight ends that are kind of emerging this season as pass catchers that weren't in the past. You have the Dalton Schultz.
You know what's funny? It's not to cut you off, but I always listen to Sounds of the Sidelines. Cowboys always put it out. They always like get little clips, right? After Dalton Schultz caught his second touchdown, he's on the bench, right? And he's yelling at all of his receivers. He goes, but I'm a blocker. I just block. I'm just a blocker. Like, there's swag behind Schultzy was like, oh, my God, this guy's finally starting to come around and catch some footballs.
If you break down what his numbers could be, what they project to be over a full 17-game season now, he would have some gaudy numbers.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's going to continue
we'll see.
In the pace that he's on because that would just be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a cow. He would be breaking.
Pro Football Focus has him ranked as this number two tight end in football right now based off of whatever crap they do in that regard.
But, right, I'll trade you Darren Waller for...
Nah, Waller's going to stay. If you're a Waller guy, he's still the guy.
So, yeah, I would say that if you're having a Tonyan, if you're having a Jonnu Smith, if you still manage to hang on to these guys up to this point, the tight end position is so thin that a Dawson Knox on Buffalo, I would be starting him almost every week at this point until he proves that he shouldn't be. I think he's a top 8 tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Dalton Schultz. You have to make that move at a certain point to realize that the guy that you drafted isn't the guy, and I don't think Tanyan's going to be that guy.
I have a fantasy question for both of you. I mean, when you're in a competitive league like I am, I'm 1-2 in my home league, so it's almost like a must win this week. I don't want to fall to 1-3. I know we have that extra game towards the end of the year where you can make up some ground. I get it. But how do you guys feel about stacks? You know, like when you have the quarterback and you stack him with a receiver, be a tight end. But also have the running backs.
No, terrible.
That's a fucking, you have the whole team.
Right.
Sacrilege.
You have the whole team there.
In that league, I have Dak, Zeke, and now starting Dalton Schultz.
It's not a bad team to have the whole team of, you know what I'm saying? The Cowboys.
Having the tight
end. Right, it's a good offense.
It's
not
a little bit different, but I can guarantee you probably also have their defense.
I did add him. I did add him. So that's a lot.
You're talking about
four out of my nine guys are Cowboys right now.
In any given week, the Cowboys, as good as they've been playing, you know.
They can shit. Yeah, they can shit the bed. Absolutely.
Or they win a game and it just doesn't happen the way you need it.
Tony Pollard goes for 200 or something like that. Yeah, yeah. No, listen, I know.
And then your whole
team risky.
Sucks.
Yeah.
So you gotta share the wealth. I used to make that mistake. I'm now
too seasoned?
Too seasoned. I will right. own the shit out of their kicker, defense, and shit like that. Who? Because it doesn't.
Zerline?
No.
Oh, you mean like the, oh, okay.
Traditionally, over time,
I'll say, please, God, for the love of God.
I'll pad the back end of my roster with Packer backups.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. I tried to get Pollard. My brother probably rejected that trade. I don't even know. He probably doesn't look. You know what that really bothers me about fantasy football is when guys, like, all they really pay attention to is, like, waiver wire day and then, like, setting your lineup on Sunday. But, like, you don't worry about, like, if people are offering you trades throughout the week.
Sometimes it
plays. I offer so many trades throughout the course of the season. Nobody even pays attention.
You because I had I had Mike Williams out there in trade offers to, like, two different people in one of my leagues last year because I told you I just don't like him for some reason. And now I love him.
Right.
Because I mean, he's
what's
now
not to love?
Top two receiver in NFL. Right. But, yeah, I was trading him. I was offering him out for Javonte Williams for Trey Sermon. I offered him out in the beginning of the year.
People and now just it's just like, they thank
saw it,
you.
They would have jumped on that.
I know. All I right. agree.
Let's head over to the matchup for this evening. It is a premium one. We have amazing football on deck. Bengals, Jaguars. Wow.
Do I hear the sarcasm just leaking out of your pores right now?
It's oozing.
Look, I tell you what, though. The one storyline I'm curious about, and I'm sure there's many to the Jaguars fans of the world and the Bengals fans of the world, but look, this is the last 2 years' number one picks. Joe Burrow was the guy last year, and now this year was Trevor Lawrence. So this is a battle of who got it right and who got it wrong. And right now, Trevor Lawrence is probably one of the worst quarterbacks in football.
That just means, like, so you're usually a shitty matchup. The last two number one picks. It's like, oh, so we have two terrible teams on our hands.
And that's what we have. The Bengals are actually favored at home. Not actually favored. They should be favored. They're at home, 7.5-point favorites. The over-under sits at 45.5 right now, as according to BetMGM. And if you guys want to bet on this game, please be sure to go to ChopSportsMedia.com, click on Jamie Foxx's face, register, deposit, make a bet, win some money, and you're also helping out ChopSports at the same time. So do that for us. We appreciate you. But now, in regards to this game, you know, again, doesn't have a lot of appeal per se. The Bengals are shocking a little bit shocking right now at the 2-1 record, and of course the Jaguars still looking for dub number one under Urban Meyer. You know, when you look at the storylines, can Trevor Lawrence limit the turnovers? All of a sudden, he looks like Daniel Jones out there. You know what I mean? And Daniel Jones in his rookie year,
he almost looks worse than Daniel Jones.
Right, and he's putting the ball in the air. I want to say that, like, you can't even discredit his offense around him. I do like the guys that he has to throw the ball to, and even Robinson to hand the ball off to.
Also, let me just say, the O-line is ranked top five in the league right now in terms of pass protection.
Yeah, right. So it's like, so are we just seeing the bubble guts out of Trevor Lawrence? Like, just a little nervous? It's the new game.
Yeah, and they haven't stopped anybody once.
Right. And they just got rid of their best corner. So it's like, what are they doing over there? You know, C.J. Henderson traded to the Panthers, who hopefully won't be ready to go by Sunday, because I don't really want to deal with that. But he might. He probably will.
But what I want to ask you guys is, can Trevor Lawrence limit turnovers? What's your thoughts? Yes or no? You think he gets it done in this game, or you think he can't do it?
I think Trevor Lawrence comes from a place, you know, in college where he was just so good, you know, like, so you know it's there. You know this talent is there. It's just a matter of executing. It's a matter of just, I don't know, man. You know what he needs? He needs a win. He needs a win under his belt because, look, I don't think the kid lost a game since, like, junior high, you know, before he got to the NFL. He just won everything,
if
right?
If he loses tonight, he's already lost more games in the NFL than he did in any other stage of his entire career.
That's insane to me. I mean, it's not really that insane. It is the NFL. It's a harder game to win. But, bro, like, this has to be, and I'm not saying the Bengals are that situation, because going into Cincinnati, who seemed to be red hot, you know, coming off their big win against Pittsburgh, like, this probably isn't the scenario for him to win. But it's got to be a scenario for him to, you know, right the wrongs, limit the turnovers. Like you said, like, I think this might be a little bit of a get right game for him statistically.
The Bengals are eighth against the run so far this season. I know it's only a small sample size, but they've been pretty good against the run. They've only given up 75.
So he's going to have to throw
the game against the run. So it's going to come down to Ken Trevor Lawrence actually not just limit the turnovers. He's going to have to go out there and make some throws, not just game manage, if they're going to want to even cover.
And I know the Jaguars played the Cowboys in that last preseason game, and I watched it. And I know he was playing against backups, but still, you can read how good the kid can be. And there was a couple throws that he made where I'm like, damn, bro. Like, that it's in there. Drops it right in the bucket. You know what I mean? And, like, I think that's a possibility out of him. Just got to see it. Are the Bengals good enough right now? It's flipping the script. Are the Bengals good enough to cover, like, to be favored by 7.5 at home? To me, you get Brett Ernst will tell you one way. He'll tell me you get 4 for being at home. I always thought it was 3 for being home, as like a, you know, unless it's a pick 'em, you know what I'm saying? Like, you get 3 for being a home team. They're giving him an extra field goal here, field goal plus. So they're giving him a touchdown spread over the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I'm in the mindset of, until the Jaguars do it and they win a game, or they even come close to winning a game, these spreads are going to be there. These spreads are going to be there. They're not. Vegas is not on board with the Jacksonville Jaguars yet. And I say yet because I picked the Jaguars to win like 5-6 games. I don't know where they're going to come from now, because I think they should have won a couple of them already, you know, like early on when teams are still getting their feet wet, you know. But I don't know, man. It's hard, bro. I mean, you think the Bengals are worth being favored 7.5, Gooch? I mean, that's.
Yeah, because the Jaguars are just that bad.
That bad. Okay.
So the Jaguars are that bad. They were in position to cover. They were in position to win outright last week, and it was like early fourth quarter, and they ended up getting the shit beat out of them anyway. It was like still a 12-point loss.
Yep.
I know that they were getting 9, and they lost, and they didn't cover. So it doesn't matter what position they're in. At late in the game, they just can't get it done. They can't stop anybody. So until they could stop somebody, and Cincinnati's offense has been rolling. So,
all right.
Of course, I think.
Well, before Cincinnati's we make our picks, we'll get back.
Because Jacksonville's is just that bad.
Before we make our picks, I do, like, we are at all over the place branded show, so we do want to talk fantasy. Nick Tabanera is chiming in right now. With a question, Scary Terry or Allen Robinson this week in a full point PPR? I go back to fantasy football before we make our picks because, look, you know, some people chime in, you know, get into the chat a little late. So let's help out Nick here.
Anyway.
What do you got?
Everybody knows how big of an Allen Robinson fan I am. As much as I'm a Packer fan, I still really, really respect Allen Robinson's ability to get it done no matter what. I think he has finally met his match in not being able to produce because of how bad the quarterback situation is. I can't start Allen Robinson if you have an option like a Terry McLaurin. You just can't do it.
But in that same sentence, when we're talking about quarterback play, we're talking about how the Bears just can't seem to get it right when it comes to like choosing the right quarterback. You know, looking over at Taylor Heinicke at the Washington, that's another shitty situation to be in.
But at least they know who's throwing the ball to him, and McLaurin has had some success with Heinicke throwing him the ball already. So I don't know how much, I'm not exactly sure, but I know Allen Robinson is basically, you know, you got to put him outside the top 25 right now in this week's rankings because of the quarterback situation.
Yeah, we got Dynasty Pylon chiming in with his 2 cents. He's at Nick. He says, go with Terry. Heinicke is locked on him like crazy, and the Bears are obviously having their situation at quarterback. So basically what you just said. And Tyler Heinicke is the GOAT. You know what? I don't even have to know who that is. That's Shrieks. I want to say that's Leak. I might be completely wrong, but I just know that there's a Taylor Heinicke fan base out there in which I think you know, he's a good quarterback. He's fun to watch. But if I'm choosing one, I'm not the fantasy guru like these guys are, but I'm going all day. I'm going all day with Allen Robinson. I'm sorry, Terry, because the Bears just can't seem to get out of their own way right now, and that's a problem.
I'm going Terry. Yeah. What is it? Nagy will be fired. That's all I have to say.
What?
Nagy will be fired.
Matt Nagy? Nagy?
No, he got the name right. I was just kind of – that was out of left field. You think he's going to be fired after this week?
Yeah, I said it pre-show. I'll say it again. I mean, I think the matter of the fact is that he has not a clue what he's doing in terms of controlling the players' emotions, in terms of creating relationship with the players. It's horrible. It's really horrible.
I thought for sure, I was talking to my man Silva, who's a big big Bears guy, and he said that there was an emergency press conference yesterday, and I didn't read anything more into that, and he didn't tell me, so it must have not been that big. And you know what? It didn't get picked up by the mainstream media with the sports media, so nothing happened to Nagy. But like, is it time for him to just kind of give up some of the reins. You know what I mean? Like obviously he's having a hard time with his quarterback situation, right? But then you got to run the offense, right? You got to run the offense.
I've never been a fan of head coaches giving up the play calling ability or play calling duties and then taking them back and then giving them away and then taking them back. It sends a wrong message to the players. If the head coach can't call plays and he's an offensive coach, and he has to give up play calling duties, and then all of a sudden you have to go face your players. They're looking around, they're like, dude, we already know you suck.
Right.
Why are we here? Why are you here? No.
Question for the GOAT myself. Calling myself the GOAT. How bad is that? One beer. That's all it took for me to start getting like real bold. Should I go to Dallas? Should it be on my bucket list? Yes, you should go to Dallas. If you're a football fan, even if you're not a Cowboys fan, just go. Go to Dallas. Well, downtown Dallas is fun. There was a lot of fun stuff, a lot of crazy like college bars and stuff that I went to. I think Dallas is the way to go. I think, you know,
who the hell did you hire to ask that question in the chat?
I didn't hire anybody.
No, that was actually Ash.
I thought Ash. Ashley wants to know if she should go to Dallas. If you like Nashville,
sports.
If you like Nashville,
I should go to Dallas.
Go to the original Nashville. Dallas is the original Nashville. Nashville is what's hot right now. Go to Dallas. Go to Fort Worth. Go to the Stockyards.
So what you're saying is no, because I don't want to go to Nashville, so I don't want to go to the original Nashville. We're going to go to Green Bay.
Ashley, just get on a plane and go. That's what I did.
All right, we're going anywhere. It's definitely not going
to
be down.
We got to bring the show back to
Yes, back to the picks. All right, back to the picks.
Let's make our picks, you bastards.
We blame the viewers.
Yeah, no, I know. It's great that we're getting them. So thank you very much. And Nashville was Liddy. And if you don't know what Liddy means, that just means it was really exciting. in Ash speak and AJ speak, Liddy means it's good. So that's a positive thing.
You don't
know
what Liddy means. You probably don't even know how to use YouTube, but you probably do know how to use Facebook.
I'm going
to
tell you guys something right now. Liddy's already dead.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Is Liddy a dead thing already?
I would never say the word Liddy.
Well, Ashley never. Said it.
So Ashley says it, so shut up.
I don't give a damn.
Anyway.
Nobody can see that.
Anyway, so we're on picks. Well, let's make some picks, Gooch. Let's start with you, bro. We don't know the standings yet. I'm going to go over those standings later on just to find out where we're at when we go into a Football Friday when we make our picks. So 7.5 in Cincinnati, where are you leaning towards, Gooch?
Obviously, you know I'm going with the Bengals. We talked ad nauseum about how bad the Jaguars are, and I'm not going to just go with the bad team like I did all last week. I don't know how my picks turned out.
We're gonna find out this week.
Because we didn't have the notes. So I'm curious to know if I botched it last week going against my opinion on everything or...
I can't wait to see it go 500 and then you don't know what to do this week.
Yeah, well, I already don't know what to do this week. I just know that I'm not going with the Jags and Urban Meyer.
All right, so you're taking the Bengals to cover the 7.5 and get themselves a decent win. How about you, AJ? What do you got?
I'm taking the Bengals all day. Simply put, the Jaguars don't have what it takes. That's all I'm going
to say. All right, that's all you have to say. Well, then I'm also riding. I'm with the Bengals as well. Listen, Bengals are hot right now, man. They're hot right now. They played a good Pittsburgh defense. They put up some points. And until the Jaguars can get it done, I don't believe in the Jacksonville Jaguars right now. And I think that's sad because I do know some Jaguars fans out there that are struggling. And if you know a Jaguars fan, give them a call. Give them a hug, you know, like a scoop, like a Jess. Like, I know a couple of them.
We all have some homework assignments now, too.
What's that?
We're not doing the picks in real time.
Very true. Yeah, so we can't – as the season goes on, you're going to see, like, the standings and whatever, and you're going to wonder, like, oh, I wonder why Dave is up or wonder why Gooch is so far behind. Is Dave just picking against Gooch because he wants to gain a game? We're going to write these things down, so it's like, you know, it's one of those things. Maybe we'll even – you know what? Let's buy some whiteboards. Let's buy some whiteboards and, like, write it down and just flash it up for your pick.
So then the people that are listening to the podcast will be like, I have no idea.
I mean, you have to say it too. Like, you got to cater to both, right? This is a daily show and a podcast, Gooch. So anyway, we're all on it. We're all on the Bengals there. Where's that flashy graphic? There it is. The game picks 7.5. AJ, Gooch, and myself are taking the Cincinnati Bengals to cover tonight. Dynasty Pylon. The Jags are on a 5-year plan. What is it? Don't die? Like, come on, Jags. You got to do something. And I guess, shout out to Urban Meyer looking for that first dub. And I know once he gets it,
he'll quit
football. He'll quit football
for health reasons,
right?
He'll be coaching at where?
USC.
No, USC's not happening.
Rutgers. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. The Bengals more than likely will win tonight. And you know what? It is what it is, and we're going to get into all of the rest of the slate tomorrow on a football Friday. I got to get stretched. I got to get ready. I got to get some new cleats. I got a softball game to play tonight. Your boy actually played real well last week, and I don't ever toot my own horn with softball because I'm a larger guy now, and I'm not as fast as I used to be. And when I say not as fast as I used to be, I was never fast ever. So that's not a thing. I've never been quick, but softball is tonight, and the Chop Sports, we're calling this 2.0. Are back in action. We are 1-1 after 1 week of play, and we'll see if we can get it done. I know you said you're going to make your season debut possibly next week.
Maybe.
All right.
Well, I'm upset.
You're on the roster. You're getting paid. You know what I mean? Like, you're on the roster. You're collecting the game checks.
Do I have to report to camp, or am I going to forfeit my game?
I mean, I might fine you, but we'll see. You know, we'll see about that. I still keep this open. What is that? I still keep this open though because me supporting Chop Sports. Oh, another meeting. Oh, she's working. Okay. Well, you know what? That's loyalty right there. Thank you so much, Ash. Of course, as always. So this has been another great show, another loaded show. Tomorrow we're coming at you with a Football Friday, giving our game picks. We'll recap this game. If for whatever reason the Jacksonville Jaguars shocked the world, and it's not really shocking the world. They win. They can win. There's an ability for this team to win. Will they do it? The three of us say no. So with that, for Sturch and Gooch, and of course, AJ making all these flashy, awesome graphics for the Chop Sports Daily. And of course, we want to thank our sponsors, Flipping Made Easy. Guys, I forgot to tell you the first time I introduced these guys, I was like, go flip your house. You know, like, this is what you got to do. They're really good at it. This is what they do. Bro, they're also offering like a career out of this. You know, like, flipping houses is actually a career. People make ridiculous money flipping houses.
I see it on TikTok all the time.
Right. So these people make this money. These guys not only make it easy, as the website flippingmadeeasy.com says, but they actually, there's instructional videos. There's ways to get involved and just register now. You'll get a free t-shirt if you register and use the word CHOP. You'll get 90-day money-back guarantee, meaning if you don't like what you've paid for, they're going to give it to you right back. So I would do it. I mean, I did it already, so I can't, you know, and it wasn't even free. You know, I just went in there and I said, I want this. I want to find out. I want to learn this stuff just in case, you know, I want a side gig because I don't have enough side gigs at this point in juncture. But for that, so thank you to FlippingMadeEasy.com. Thank you to Absolute Eyewear. Thank you to Attitude of Gratitude Consulting. Thank you to all of our sponsors. There's also hot sauce out there still lingering around. So if you want some hot sauce, guys, go get it. It's SilkCityHotSauce.com. There's so many people that are supporting Chop Sports, and we can't thank you enough. So for that, I say cheers to you, okay, in my brand new Chop Sports koozie. Get yours today. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
The Chipotle brisket's fucking orgasmic.
Favorite Jaguar of all time? Mark Brunell. It's not close.
You know he's a former Packer, too.
And I know he's also the quarterback's coach of the Lions.
Oh,
that says a lot.
So he sucks.